Why don't you stand, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to preach a different message than I've, kind of a brand new on the road message. It is brand new on the road message. John, I did preach this in chapel this year, so hopefully it's familiar to you. But anyhow, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 18 says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our conversation, our citizenship, is what that word means there, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, even the Lord Jesus Christ." Talking about the unsaved there, and folks in verse 18 that aren't living right, and then verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, their personal satisfaction, what they get out of life, what makes them feel good, whose glory is in their shame. Boy, that describes a lot of the world today. They glory in things that ought to be a shame to them. They not only sin, they're proud of their sin. They're glorying in it and having parades and everything else about it. But whose glory is their shame. And then the phrase at the end of the verse there is the one I'd like to concentrate as much as anything, who mind earthly things. The focus of their life is on things here on the earth. Most people on earth today, including probably most Christians, the focus of their life is on earthly things. That's where their attention is. And that's true of all of us to some extent. We all think about it, what am I going to eat? Where am I going to live? What am I going to get paid? How am I going to pay my bills? We have concentration on earthly things. But as opposed to that, obviously we ought to be minding heavenly things and thinking about that. If you want, I won't keep you standing much longer. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, and then I'll pray, and then maybe I'll turn and read another verse here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, there it is. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." It's what they think about. Unsaved and backslidden Christians and so on, "they that are after the flesh do mind," they think about the things of the flesh. "But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." They mind the things of the Spirit. They're thinking about spiritual things. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless and guide as I preach tonight. Holy Spirit, lead my mind and speak to hearts as I speak to ears. Pray that you'd do a work. Bless the church here and the good people and the Rosses. Give them both strength for the days ahead. We pray you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to turn over and read also, and you turn with me if you'd like to, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. Talks about the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things, the heavens and the earth and the things here on the earth, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation with godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Everything we see here is going to be dissolved someday. It's all going to disappear. All these earthly things that all of us are so involved with. And the earthly things here are going to be dissolved. They're not going to last. And we look for such things. Somebody said you shouldn't live for things. Well, it depends on which things you're living for. Are you living for things that are here on the earth? That shouldn't be a purpose of your life. Or are you living for things that are in heaven, heavenly things? The things that are in heaven are real things. Some ways they're more real than what you have here on the earth, because the things in heaven are going to last forever. I mean, I've got mansions there and streets and trees and it's a city and so on like that. Everything in heaven is going to last forever. It's not a matter of I want to live for heavenly things, not earthly things. Seeing that these things are going to be dissolved, I ought to be living for such things. Verse 14 there in 2 Peter 3, I ought to be living for such things as are eternal. It seems to me, as I think about life and have thought through a lot of this different ways, that all of us have a choice to make, and I don't guess any of us, you know, go 100% one way or the other. But we've got a choice to make as we live our lives day to day. Are we going to mind earthly things like the phrase in Philippians said there? Or are we going to be mindful of heavenly things? Is our mind, our concentration, going to be on things here on the earth? My bank account, my investments, my salary, whatever. Or is my mind and my concentration going to be on a heavenly bank account and rewards and things I'm laying up for there and salvation? You know, am I going to concentrate on things of the earth and mind those things, be mindful of them? Or am I going to concentrate on things that are eternal? A lot of it, I think sometimes you've got a choice. The earthly things, I think, to a great extent, revolve around money and the things money will buy. A lot of people nowadays living their life to make more money, want to make more money. It's not wrong to have money. All of us have some. All of us have more than most of the world does. It's not wrong to have it. But the idea is, what are you going to spend your life seeking? Matthew says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. God will add these other things to you. But what the question is not, what am I going to have, but how am I going to get it and how am I going to seek it? Again, having money is not wrong. And money, some people, that's the goal of their life or the things money will buy. Money will buy you temporary pleasures. I mean, it make you a lot of, you can have a big night out on the town. Usually when you say that, you think, talk about a big night, one night of fun and so on. You think of sinful fun. And money, I guess, could buy you that. Pleasures or pleasure of sin for a season. Money can buy you fun things to do. I enjoy college basketball. I was thinking, it'd be fun to go to the Final Four. College coming down here and be fun to be there and be at the game. And if I had enough money and a little more time, I could go. I got looking around. And I thought, I looked at Ticketmaster and thought, what could I buy seats for the Final Four? And best seats I found available at least a couple weeks ago when I was looking were center court, row 16. So not the best seats in the place, but pretty good. Center court, row 16, 16 rows off the court. And the tickets were only $4,920 each. And they had 10 of them available. 10, I teach math. They had 10 of them available at that price. So for a little bit under $50,000, plus travel, motels, things like that, a little bit under $50,000, you and nine of your best friends, I hope that would include me, I mean, you could take us all, and it'd be fun. Wouldn't be sinful. It'd be fun. There's a lot of things, if you had money, you say, well, I could do that, and that'd be fun. Probably most of us, we had $50,000, wouldn't choose to spend it like that. Now, I think of things I'd rather do with $50,000 than one night at a basketball game. But I guess maybe if you've got billions, what's $50,000? That's not my case, but, anyhow, money will buy you pleasure, it'd buy you fun. And some of that's not wrong. It'll buy you nice dinners and a nice place to live. And, you know, it can buy you, enjoy a wonderful vacation, take a month and go wherever and stay in fancy hotels. And I mean, and all that's fun. And assuming you're not doing sinful, I mean, you know, the vacation isn't, nothing wrong with that. I think all of us like taking short vacations. My wife and I sure do. And we stopped and got a meal on the way up here and enjoyed spending some time together. It'll buy you things like that. You go a month, it'll buy you a year of things like that. Money, you know, you could use it. It'll spread it over 70 years. Typical life, according to the Word of God. If we live 70 years, money will buy you a nice house, a comfortable place to live, heat and air conditioning and foods and, you know, whatever you want. Luxury meals and have people to serve you and so on. Money would buy you fame and prestige. But be honest with you, every one of those is a short-term pleasure. And you say, Brother Jorgensen, what about, I mean, I understand a basketball game, that's a short term, it's one night. And if you've got a team that you're pulling for, you got a 50% chance that you're going to be upset when it's over. I mean, why make that, you know, basketball, ever dawn on you, every team but one in the NCAA at basketball loses the final game of the season? There's only, I mean, either they lose in a conference tournament and don't get into the big tournament, or they lose in the big tournament. Every team but one in college basketball loses their final game of the season. Why would that be a goal of my life? Now, again, I'm not against basketball. I enjoy it, and I wish I could play it better. But anyhow, money will buy you fame. It'll buy you prestige. It'll buy you short-term pleasure. I thought sometimes even watching, and, you know, people that win or get something, man, there's, you know, this is a big day. I'm glad the high point of my life didn't come when I was 21 years old. Yes, glad I'm still growing and serving God. But money will buy you there. Instead, so you got one choice we can live for with money and the things it'll buy. You got another choice of trying to live for God and the things that God gives. You know, the world never gives. The world only takes. Sometimes we say, you know, the pleasure that the world gives, if you have money, the world gives pleasure. But the world doesn't give pleasure. All the world's pleasures come with a cost. So thinking about the Sunday school lesson this morning, so on, I mean, they're almost for sale. Again, not sinful pleasures, just pleasures that are things of the earth as opposed to things of heaven. But if I decide to spend my life serving God and seeking Him, Matthew says, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will give you. God will give me, according to the Bible, everything else I need. Now, I have to work, and if any wouldn't work, he shouldn't eat, and so on. But God sees to it that my needs are going to be taken care of. Amen. And God does give, and God does take care of our needs. It's a matter of seeking him instead of seeking the other. And it's not necessarily how much you're seeking. Sometimes we look at our lives and we say, well, my life isn't about seeking money. I don't have much. It's not how much you have, it's what's the focus of your life. Sometimes in my life, I've spent a lot more time thinking about money when I didn't have enough than when I did. In some ways, it's more of a temptation to get out of the will of God when I didn't have enough to pay my bills than when I do. It's not how much you have, it's what are you seeking? What's important to you? Somebody says, well, I just want to live comfortably, a nice house, nice little house, and, you know, the picket fence, old thing back in the 50s or whatever, a nice little three-bedroom, bath-and-a-half house with a little picket fence and so on like that, and just live comfortably and live easily. If that's the focus of your life, you're missing the spiritual. Because it's not about the amount, it's what. Am I seeking that, or am I seeking spiritual things? Look, I want to challenge all of us to be content with physically and so on, material. Be content with what you have. 1 Timothy 6, I think it is, went right in there, 6 verses 6 through 11. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment or clothing, let us therewith be content. You know, godliness with contentment. Why don't you decide, this is what God gave me, I'm happy with it. God wants to give me more, that's fine. God wants me to get by with less, that's okay. We were talking to the Youngs at lunch today. We had a great time over at their house for lunch, but talking to them about James and Abby Baxter, Brother Rogers' sister and her husband serving over there in Africa. And I think probably you're aware of their, you know. We all live like millionaires compared to them. God loves them every bit as much as he loves. And God loves the people to whom they minister every bit as much as he loves us. No reason I should live any better than the people to whom they're ministering over there in Africa. Why don't we just decide, God, whatever you choose to give me, I'm going to be happy and content with it. I'm going to be satisfied. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, and that one I can't quite quote, but Hebrews 13, 5, let your conversation, manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Look, I want to spend my life being content. God, I want to serve, I want to focus my life, and none of us get this perfectly, I sure don't. I want to focus my life on serving you and what I can accomplish for you and whatever you choose to give me in terms of money here or other things here or health or lack of health or whatever. God, I want to be content. I just want to take it and use it for you. God loves everybody and all of us. Again, it's not wrong to have it. All of us have more than most of the world does. We ought to use it for God. Let God give it to you. Don't make that the focus of your life. And that's what God promises. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. After all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Right? I mean, isn't that what the Bible says? God knows you need something to eat and a place to stay and something to wear. God's going to take care of you, and he does by our work and so on. I believe in hard work. But God's going to take care of meeting my needs, and I want to spend my life serving him, putting him first in my life, and saying, God, you take care of the rest. Whatever you give me, I'm going to try and be a good steward of it. I'm not going to waste it. $50,000 on a night at a basketball game. I want to use it for you. And all of us can look at something and say, Brother Jordan, you spent that much on that, that was a waste. Well, we all do that some. I don't mean I spent $50,000 on a basketball game. I probably spent more money going to some basketball games maybe than, I mean, I don't know. No, not in thousands. Over 100 a few times, sometimes for tickets. But I want to serve God with my life. I'll put him first. And let God give me what he thinks I ought to have. Again, if you look, let me turn to Matthew 6. I've kind of quoted it a bunch of times here. Matthew 6, 31 says, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Hey, they're seeking food and clothes and place to stay. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the things the Gentiles are seeking. What shall we eat, and what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? After all these things do the Gentiles seek. Where am I? Verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, those things, will be added unto you. Take no thought, therefore, for the morrow shall take care thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You're going to get enough bad news in the day without worrying about tomorrow. Trust God, serve him. The focus of our life ought to be on serving God. Abraham, again, not wrong to have it. Abraham was a wealthy man. I mean, he was a lot of sheep and he was wealthy. Job was wealthy. And God let Satan take it away from him. Then God gave him back double. God wasn't against Job having it. But he wanted to let Satan demonstrate that it was Job wasn't serving him for what he was getting out of it. It's not wrong to have it. Abraham, Genesis 14, 23, wouldn't take from the lost when he went out and captured the people back and they didn't want to take any of the spoils. Said, no, people wanted to give him a reward. He said, I'm not going to take it. Don't want anybody saying, you made me rich. I want everybody to know God gave it to me. Gehazi, a lot of you know the story, I think, of Elisha and Naaman the Syrian who had the leprosy. And Naaman the Syrian, captain of the army there in Syria, wealthy man, little maid said, go over and see Elisha, the prophet, the man of God. He can heal you. And so Naaman says, well, you know, I got nothing to lose. I'll try it. And he goes over, takes a bunch of money, goes to see Naaman, goes to see Elisha. Elisha tells Naaman, go down and dip in the river seven times, dip in the river several times, and you'll come up, you'll be clean. And he did it, and he came up, and he was clean. And you know, wow, this is a miracle. He went back to Elisha and said, man, I just want to thank you so much for doing this for me. Here, I brought all this money, and I want you to have it. And I don't know why, but Elisha said no. I don't think it would have been wrong for him to take it. I mean, I don't see anything in the Bible where God says why he shouldn't have taken it. But anyhow, Elisha said no. I got thinking afterwards, and actually just recently, you know, leprosy is a type of sin in the Bible. It's a symbol of sin. And getting cleansed from leprosy is a symbol then of salvation. And so maybe the idea was, I don't want to pollute that picture of salvation being something you could pay for. I don't know if that was it or not. Bible doesn't say that. I don't know. But anyhow, Elisha said, no, I don't want the money. I'm not going to take it. Gehazi said, his assistant there, servant to Elisha, said, man, that's crazy. Elisha's lost his mind. He doesn't want to take this money, but we may need it someday. Probably had good motives. We may need it someday. Hard time's coming. And so Gehazi, the servant, sneaks out and runs after Naaman, catches up to him, said, my master changed his mind. He lied. My master changed his mind. We'll take the money. I'll take some of the money. And the Naaman says, oh, take double what you asked for. Just take it. I'm just so happy. I'm cleansed of the leprosy. So Gehazi, the servant, gets back, hides the money. Nobody will know. Elisha says, Gehazi, where you been? What you been doing? He said, oh, just going to and fro, kind of just hanging around. Lied again. Elisha said, I know God told me what you did. You went out and got the money, and you've got the money, and you can keep it, but you're also going to get the leprosy that Naaman had. So now you've got the money and the leprosy. I think Gehazi thought, that wasn't a good deal. Should have been content. Going longer than I thought I might. I'm not going to keep you much longer, but I got a list, 7 things you can't buy with money. Why would you seek money? You can't buy salvation. can't buy a home in heaven with money. I don't care how wealthy you are. Sometimes you get wealthy, it's harder to realize I need a Savior and get saved. But money can't buy heaven. Can't buy salvation. It can't, you know, can't take away the stain of sin out of your life. Only the blood of Christ can do that. Money can't buy you eternal rewards. Revelation 3, the Laodicean church, you know, thought, man, we're wealthy and we got all this stuff and we're rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. And Jesus says to him, I counsel of you to find, you know, buy me white raiment, the righteousness of the saints and gold tried in the fire. Buy something eternal with all that money. You can't do it. Money won't buy you any eternal rewards. I'm looking forward when I get into heaven. I want to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to have a crown or two to cast at Jesus' feet when the time comes. Money won't buy you any eternal rewards. Money won't buy your youth when you're old. You use up your chances, and I mean, you know, all of us as we live, you can't go back. You use up your chances to do good and to live for others and to preach the gospel, to win souls, teach that Sunday school class, run the bus, give a little extra to missions. When you're old, you can't buy back. I want to use the time that I have while I'm able to work and to serve God. I'm not young anymore, but I want to use the time that I have to serve God. I want to make it count for God. Because you can't buy back missed opportunities to serve God. Money won't buy you a friend when you're lonely. Sometimes people, man, I just feel all alone. One of the saddest things, you know, you see people out and just kind of stumbling around, almost look homeless, whatever. Nobody cares, seemingly. Don't have a friend. Then you go into wealthy homes. And I'm a millionaire, but does anybody care about me because of me, or do they just all want my money? Money can't buy you a true friend when you're lonely. I just want to be content with what God gives me and spend my life serving Him. One of my favorite songs for years has been, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Somebody said money will take you everywhere, but heaven buy you everything but happiness. It'll buy you pleasure for a little while, and not just sinful pleasure. It'll buy you okay pleasure for a while. But it won't buy you joy. Money can't buy you peace of mind. Isaiah 26:3 says perfect peace. God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. I mean, the craziness of the world and everything going on today, and you know, you're out in the country, you feel a little isolated from it, and you feel like, well, that's good. But, you know, I mean, none of us know what's going to happen. Right. And somebody's saying, well, you know, what happens if all the banks fail and none of us can get our money and the food chain's going to shut down and we're all going to starve to death and you better buy 50-pound bags of rice? And I don't know. God knows what I need. He knows I need something to live. Some point I'm going to heaven. That soon, it's okay with me. It's a long time from now. I want to keep serving Him. Money can't buy you peace of mind. Oh, I just can't sleep. I just so worked up. I can't sleep. I keep worrying about this. I worry about that. Jesus gives peace. Money can't buy you a loving mate, loving husband, loving wife. Buy you a pretty one. You know, if you're wealthy, I guess you can find some pretty girl or handsome, good-looking guy, and you're wealthy enough, it'll buy you a pretty one or a good-looking guy, but it won't buy you love. Right. Right. Amen. Right. Wife and I be married 52 years this year. Money can't buy that, the relationship we have, right. The love we have for each other. Wouldn't trade it for any amount of money. Money can't buy the power of God in your life. Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8 thought, you know, he saw the disciples doing some miracles and the Holy Spirit falling and so on. He said, hey, you know, could I give you money so I can get that too? And the apostle said, nope, don't get it with money. Doesn't come that way. Power of God, the ability to influence people, the ability to teach that Sunday school class or work that bus route and have people saved when you're out on visitation. And those of you who go soul winning, you pray that God will lead me to somebody that's eager and looking, somebody that's wanting to get saved today. The Holy Spirit's been working on your heart and you get done someday. And some days you get done and you feel like God did that today. God put that person there. He was ready. God used me today. You can't buy that with money. You know, it's just foolish to spend our lives working and saying, man, the goal of my life is money and I want to have a good retirement, a good IRA, and I'm for planning and I'm for savings and I teach personal finance and I'm for all those things. But the your security and your safety and peace isn't in your bank account. That'll be especially true after, you know, all the craziness going on. Your safety and security and peace ought to be in God. Amen. I trust Him. God knows what I need. God's going to take care of me. God's going to meet my needs. I will spend my life serving. Whatever I have here, people can take away. Wouldn't matter much. What's up there, they can't take away. The rewards and the souls and the influence and what's done. I don't want to spend my life living for earthly things. I want to be mindful of heavenly things and live with eternity's values in view instead of concentrating on what's here on the earth. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder if God's spoken to somebody's heart tonight, say, and I'm sure all of us, you know, everybody here tonight, you're in church on a Sunday night. You value spiritual things to some extent. All of us do. And yet we all battle with valuing earthly things too. I wonder if God spoken to somebody's heart and say, maybe I need to reshift some of what I'm doing, priorities. I need to make time to join one of those soul winning groups. I need to make time to read my Bible and pray more. I need to make time to get more involved in the church. I mean, I need to shift some priorities in my life. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? I see several hands around. Anybody else? I want to reevaluate some of my priorities. I want to put them on eternal things instead of things here on the earth. I think you lower your hands. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight that would say, Brother Jorgensen, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. You talked about knowing you're going to heaven. I wish I knew that. You can know. I'd like to pray for you. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed, and I'll pray. And after I do, the pianist will play. You're welcome to come to the altar. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Help us to live with eternity's values in view, to concentrate on serving you and seek heavenly things and let you just give us the things here on this earth that you want us to have, then help us to be content with them and to focus our life on serving you. We pray you'd bless in Jesus' name.